Right now, on Current State, can a commission do what lawmakers will not?
Our strategy has always been to pursue every possible angle to achieve full equality for every Michigander.
The issue is, can the Civil Rights Commission do this? And they can't.
Find out where the fight stands now. Plus, heartbreak for people in the capital region with families affected by disasters in Mexico and the Caribbean.
Nothing can comfort us more than prayer.
Also, learn about the close connection between Michigan State and South Vietnam years before American involvement escalated.
Michigan State was providing the technical assistance.
Plus, a community center helping Lansing families gets ready to turn 50.
If you need help, you're going to get it.
From the WKAR studios at Michigan State University, this is Current State for September 23rd and 24th. Welcome to Current State. I'm WKAR Digital News Director Reginald Hardwick. We start with two developments regarding GLBTQ rights in Michigan. One is a lawsuit regarding adoptions. The other concerns Michigan's Civil Rights Commission being asked to make discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity against the law. Rick Pluta, our Capitol Bureau Chief at Michigan Public Radio Network, covered both of these stories. Hello.
Hi.
We start with efforts to have the Michigan Civil Rights Commission outlaw discrimination against GLBTQ people. And there was a big surprise at the end of the hearing for this one.
A huge surprise. So for weeks now, the Michigan Civil Rights Commission, which is a board that's appointed by the governor and it runs the State Department of Civil Rights, a gay rights group, Equality Michigan, asked the board for an interpretive statement that Michigan's civil rights law, the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, actually allows the Department of Civil Rights to protect LGBT people against housing and employment discrimination based on the fact that Michigan's civil rights law offers protections based on sex. And they say that that definition should include sexual orientation and gender identification. A lot of critics lined up early on saying, whoa, wait a minute, that was not the intention of the law. In fact, the legislature has, and this is true, refused to add sexual orientation and gender identification protections to the state civil rights law. And it's the legislature's job to do that, not the commission's job to do it via an interpretive statement on what that word in the law actually means.
So what happened?
The commission, the department, has been working on this for weeks and weeks and weeks without the participation of the Attorney General's office. And the Attorney General in every state department has a lawyer who's embedded with the department. They're part of it, even though they report to the Attorney General. And for reasons that have yet to be explained and that the Attorney General's office still refuses to explain, that they checked out of that process. They recused themselves. They said that you're doing this on your own. And so the department and the commission on their own came up with a set of options, four of them, on what they were going to do regarding whether or not to extend these protections from housing and employment discrimination to LGBT people. And they held a hearing. The hearing, it was earlier this week, and it went on for 2 hours. And it wasn't until the end of that process, the weeks and weeks and weeks of developing language and proposals and options, a two-hour hearing where people traveled from all across the state to come and participate, both for it and against it, that an attorney from the Attorney General's office, the one who's assigned to the department, showed up and was asked, well, what do you think? And the moment was stark. The attorney said, well, if you do this, then you're engaging in a function that's really something that belongs to the legislature, and it would be illegal. And if you're sued for it, the Attorney General's office will not back you up with legal representation. So at the last minute, the Attorney General's office, which is, by the way, operated by Attorney General Bill Schuette, now a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor, that they checked out of this entire process and at the last minute came in and said, no, you can't do this. And needless to say, there was a lot of chagrin at that.
I remember hearing some of the commissioners were very
angry. One of the commissioners in particular, the co-chair, said We didn't decline to make a decision on this. We were barred from making a decision on this by the Attorney General, who should have let us know at the beginning of the process that the opinion was that we can't do this, and instead wait until the end of the process to do that. And so what the commission did, over the objections of one commissioner who was clearly trying to shield the Attorney General from this particular political conflict, said was, well, you know what? We're going to ask you for a formal opinion. Since you came in and gave us this lower level opinion at the last minute, well, give us an official opinion. Are we allowed to do this or are we not allowed to do this? Which means that the Attorney General has now been officially asked to take a side on whether or not housing and employment discrimination protections will be extended to LGBT people in Michigan.
Any word on a timetable for that?
The Attorney General does not have to act on this request. There is no timeline, and very often requests that for whatever reasons the Attorney General and the Attorney General's office do not want to deal with just gather dust.
Well, thank you, Rick Pluta, Capitol Bureau Chief with Michigan Public Radio Network.
Always glad to talk to you, Reginald.
And we talked with both sides about the actions of Attorney General Bill Schuette's office. And in a moment, you'll hear from the conservative Great Lakes Justice Center. But first, here is the response from Equality Michigan.
This is Nathan Triplett from Equality Michigan. This fight is far from over. We're going to continue to both work through the commission angle and, of course, our effort to pass an amendment to the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act to protect people from discrimination. But right now, as you know, it's perfectly legal to fire someone for being gay or deny them housing here in the state of Michigan for being transgender. That's an untenable and unacceptable situation. And our strategy has always been to pursue every possible angle to achieve full equality for every Michigander, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity.
Several members of the opposition say Baldy, Michigan, and other LGBT groups are just trying to skirt the law and the legislative process, the lawmaking process.
The Michigan Civil Rights Commission is assigned the duty of investigating alleged discrimination and providing for the equal protection of civil rights in Michigan by our Constitution, and is responsible for enforcing the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act, including interpreting ambiguities that exist in the act. The bottom line is that executive agencies that enforce statutes are asked all of the time to deal with questions of what the law means and what it does not mean. There's nothing radical or untested or new about our request to the commission. And now, as a result of the fact that the Attorney General barred them from answering the question of what sex discrimination means in Michigan, that ambiguity will continue to exist. Employers won't know the state of the law. Landlords won't know the state of the law. And perhaps most importantly, victims of discrimination don't know what their rights are in this state. What they do know is because of a politically motivated intervention by the Attorney General, they won't be allowed to file complaints with the commission. But again, that has very little to do with the law or process and has everything to do with politics.
We're talking about the Michigan Civil Rights Commission being asked to make discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity against the law. You just heard the response from Equality Michigan. I also talked with Attorney David Kallman of the conservative Great Lakes Justice Center.
Regardless of where you stand on the underlying issue, you know, of adding sexual orientation and gender identity, that's really not the issue. The issue is, can the Civil Rights Commission do this? And they can't. So you never get to the question of whether or not those categories should be added, because they can't do it. I mean, you have to go to the legislature and ask them to change the law.
If the legislature did pass it, mm-hmm. would your organization try to stop it?
I don't think if the legislature acts and they add categories, they've added categories. So the fight would not be over the categories themselves. But then the question becomes, well, okay, how's that going to be carried out then when you're talking about people of faith, people exercising their religious free exercise rights, their rights of religious conscience, their rights of free speech under the First Amendment? So what are you going to do when you have these conflicts then that would inevitably arise, okay, if they added those categories? What do you do in that situation? And that's why you have the Masterpiece Cake case that's at the U.S. Supreme Court right now, where the gentleman out in Colorado did not want to participate in a same-sex marriage wedding by doing the cake. And that case is in front of the U.S. Supreme Court right now.
Equality Michigan will say is there are people that are being fired or left out of housing because they are gay or transgender.
What's happening is when folks who are LGBTQ come in and say to a person of faith, you have to participate in our religious ceremony, like a wedding. And we are going to compel you by force of government law.
What about in housing and hiring?
Well, again, the same thing. I mean, are we talking about some huge, you know, problem here in this, in our state and in this country? I don't think you see it.
The Civil Rights Commission was not the only story regarding policy on GLBTQ issues in Michigan. The ACLU is suing the state, saying Michigan cannot let adoption agencies take money and turn away same-sex couples. Once again, here is Rick Pluta to explain.
The lawsuit says Michigan cannot allow faith-based agencies that take public money to reject same-sex married couples who want to adopt or take in foster children. The federal lawsuit says that violates the couple's First Amendment and equal protection rights. ACLU attorney Leslie Cooper says it's also bad for kids, especially since there are more displaced children in Michigan than families ready to take them in.
By allowing this, the state is making it even harder for children to find loving homes.
The Michigan Catholic Conference is among the faith-based organizations that say they should not be forced to violate their religious principles to fulfill their mission. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
Disaster strikes twice. Amid rubble and ruin, the death toll climbs in Mexico after a devastating earthquake flattened scores of buildings, including a school. Then Hurricane Maria pummels Puerto Rico with powerful
This weekend, there is heartbreak across Latin America, and it's being felt here in mid-Michigan. An earthquake killed hundreds in Mexico City, and several islands across the Caribbean, including Puerto Rico, may go months without electricity after a direct hit from Hurricane Maria. WKAR's Katie Cook talked with an MSU student with family on the U.S. territory.
Sergio Martinez Beltran is a journalism student at MSU, graduating this December. He's from Carolina, Puerto Rico, on the northeast part of the island, 10 minutes east of the capital, San Juan.
Just to give a little context, the island is 100 miles from east to west, 35 miles from north to south. And it's 3.5 million people, so there's a lot of people in a really small territory.
Hurricane Maria made landfall in eastern Puerto Rico as a Category 4 storm early Wednesday morning.
We have a light post in front of our house, and my sister was telling me that the light post fell. So, like, the wind was so strong that a light post, like, fell to the ground.
Winds were reported to be as strong as 140 miles per hour. Sergio also talked to his aunt, who watched as the fierce winds ripped away her terrace. And he could hear the chaos through the phone when he spoke with his sister.
She was telling me, literally, is things flying, hitting our house. And so she was telling me how the back door sounded like someone was about to, like, break in. It was no one. It's just, like, things flying, like zinc roofs or just trash cans or trees or anything, like trying to, you know, hitting our house.
Sergio says growing up in Puerto Rico, he's seen plenty of hurricanes come through before, but one this big hasn't hit the island in almost a century.
For us back home, I mean, we don't have snow days, so we have hurricane days, you know, or storm days. So for us, a hurricane would be like a time to be home and, like, stay with your friends or, like, with your family and play some games. You don't have electricity, but everything is gonna be fine. So here it's different. And I've never, like, heard or seen people so scared.
I'm Katie Cook.
Thousands of people who live here in Michigan have roots in Mexico. Earlier this week, I attended a vigil where many communities came together to pray for the victims of the earthquake and the hurricane. Karina Pilar Sanchez lives in Lansing now, but immigrated from Mexico City. This week's earthquake reminded her of 1985, when a quake in her hometown killed more than 5,000 people.
Yo tenía 7 años, y yo recuerdo bien cuando mi mamá nos puso a salvo a todas.
She tells me in Spanish, I was 7 years old, and I remember well how my mom kept us safe. And now, after 32 years, it happens again on the same day. And really, it's unbelievable that after 32 years, the same thing happens. So on Wednesday night, Pilar Sanchez and other faithful held candles and sang songs in the sanctuary of Crystal Rey Catholic Church. Veronica Madrid's cousin was caught in the earthquake near Mexico City on Tuesday. He is okay, but told her it was terrifying.
It was awful, indescribable. There's an awful feeling knowing that you might die, you know.
Madrid says people from Puerto Rico, Cuba, Mexico, and Nicaragua attended the service. Praying for people affected by the quake and Hurricane Maria in the Caribbean.
Nothing can comfort us more than prayer and to be together as a family.
So let's quickly turn to the weather here at home. Friday was the first day of fall, but you wouldn't know it by our very toasty temperatures. WKAR's Karel Vega talked with a meteorologist to see what's going on.
Lansing is expecting an early autumn heat wave over the next few days, with high temperatures possibly reaching or exceeding 90 degrees. Bob Dukeshire is a senior forecaster with the National Weather Service in Grand Rapids. He says a blocked upper weather pattern is contributing to the heat.
We have a trough out in the west, and we have hurricanes, you know, in the western Atlantic off the east coast. And what we're doing is we're kind of building a ridge overhead. And beneath that ridge, we get sunny skies, and the warm air is kind of pumped up out of the south. And that block pattern is why we're pushing 90.
Lansing's record high temperature for Friday, the first day of autumn, is 94 degrees, set in 1895. The record high for September 23rd and 24th is 90 degrees, and Lansing could hit 90 on Friday and the upper 80s over the weekend.
It's only natural we had to play Martha and the Vandellas from Motown for that last segment. Now to marijuana in Michigan. The state's licensing department has started to release details about the future of medical marijuana regulation in Michigan. Our Capitol correspondent, Shayna Roth, has more.
Medical marijuana licensees will be able to open one-stop shops. The Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation plans to let a person get a license to grow, process, and sell marijuana. People could also use the same facility for their entire operation. Andrew Brisbo is the Bureau's director. He says the Bureau got a lot of requests for this.
It's just ease of operation if they can have those facilities all in the same place. I'm sure it reduces their cost if they have those all located at the same facility.
People would have to get a separate license for each activity. Applications to get a medical marijuana license start December 15th. I'm Shayna Roth in Lansing.
September 15th to October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month, when the achievements and history of Americans whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, as well as Central and South America are recognized. Over the next few weeks, we'll take time to look at the contributions of Hispanics here in the Capital Region. Earlier this week, I toured a community center started nearly 50 years ago to help Latinos, but it's now expanded to help so many more. North of Old Town Lansing stands a two-story brick school building that draws families by bus or by the carload for help and for hope. Nearly 30 years ago, Crystal Ray Community Center took over the former High Street Elementary School building. At the time, it helped the residents living nearby, who were mostly Catholic and mostly Hispanic. Now, the neighborhood is more diverse, as well as the center's clients.
There is no prerequisites to care. If you need help, you're going to get it, plain and simple.
That's Joseph Garcia. He became a volunteer here at Cristo Rey in 1991.
You know, I helped out writing resumes, and I did like mock interviewing, things like that. I really enjoyed the heck out of it.
4 years ago, Garcia left a successful Fortune 500 career in telecommunications to lead Cristo Rey as the executive director. On this day, he took me on a tour of the building. Families can attend counseling services or financial classes on the top floor.
Teaching folks how to budget, save, find the match up with good lending partners.
I'm gonna take you into our pantry.
On the first floor, a former classroom houses industrial-sized freezers and shelves of canned and boxed foods.
We get calls all the time, folks, that, you know, hey, I'm not necessarily, you know, concern for myself, but I don't got anything to feed my kids with today.
Garcia says Crystal Ray provided more than 200,000 pounds of food from this pantry last year. Another former classroom has racks of donated clothes ripe for the picking. And there's even more help down the hallway.
We're going to see somebody, regardless if they have insurance or not, regardless of their ability to pay. It's great quality care.
Doctors and nurses see at least 50 patients a week at Crystal Rays Health Clinic. Pediatrician Amy Leisure Martins says it's rewarding to work with a population that rarely gets the best medical attention.
Healthcare during your younger years can influence the rest of your life. So I feel pretty fortunate to be able to educate families about preventative medicine and diagnosing things early.
Nurse practitioner Rochelle Ryan says having so many services under one roof helps struggling families.
Being at the community center, we can help them get food, clothing, counseling, prescription assistance, kind of other things that aren't directly medical, but that can really help their health.
But Executive Director Garcia says this care all comes at a cost.
Medicaid and Medicare, the reimbursement levels are about half of what commercial insurance are. So it is very difficult for us to stay afloat. That's why it requires us to do a good amount of fundraising to keep the doors open.
Come on out, okay. I'll use this to prop the doors open.
The last stop on the tour was outside, where Garcia showed me the center's mural, designed by local high school students.
So you can see there's food, there's a medical bag, there's clothing, there's the stethoscope. We've always used the tree as a symbol for us, and the trunk always as people, because you know the people are the core to the organization.
The meaning runs deep for Garcia, who said someone helped his father, an immigrant from Mexico, who came to Michigan decades ago.
For our own particular family, was an incredible turning point. Changed everything for us.
So you're saying that one opportunity just to help can affect generations, really?
It will. I'm living proof. I'm absolutely living proof. You know, you'll hear folks will say, you know, first generation to go to college. You know, in my family, we're the first generation to go to middle school. So in our own family tree, and you know, I have an MBA.
And click on WKAR.org for a link to the Crystal Ray Community Center. Another half hour of Current State is ahead.
In the longer term, the hope is we will actually develop new or targeted treatments for children with autism caused by specific problems, because every child with autism is not the same.
Learn how Michigan State's newest research center could help solve the mysteries of autism. Also, you've heard about the Vietnam War series on PBS, but did you know MSU played a pivotal role during the conflict?
He moved to Vietnam. He was the director of the fairly large program of technical assistance that MSU headed at that time.
You will hear about the close relationship when Current State returns right after this.